for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Thank you, guys, folks. Hi, we're live in color from where am I? I'm somewhere hiding north of Santa Ana and south of the Alamo. No, I'm north of the Alamo. Where I'm in Texas. That's where I am. Everything's bigger here in Texas. Flew in here yesterday. Staying with Salt and Light Brigade leader Chad Estes here in his ranch. Getting ready to go down and survey Rockport. I always want to get that wrong. Rockport, and we've got a group of Dale Socia and his buddies. They're rolling in over there over by Houston. I don't even know the name of the town over there. So we're on the ground, and I'm operating off of my phone today rather than off of my computer. And I have to tell you, that kind of handicaps me a little bit when I do the show. Yeah, I've done a lot of show prep. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong button over here. I hate it when people don't look at me. No, I got it now. So I always do show prep in the morning. It's just hard to do show prep without my computer to save stuff and put it over there. So I was saying to the guys before we came on the air, listen, this is one of those shows in the queue regularly, or listen to the show regularly. We have stuff on your mind, questions, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that. I've got some stuff prepared. Don't worry. But rather than me dominating so much today with my sore leg, that's why I'd say the quarterback got a sore leg. I'm going to lean on you guys a little bit. I was really struck again this morning. Over the last 24 hours, I guess, I was on the airplane. I got a chance to read. I hate flying. I got to tell you, I hate flying. I was stuck in that little seat like that for about 4 hours. Oh, my goodness. Finally got off of that thing. And I always try to take a book to read with me when I go on a plane, just because it's, you know, you really can't get away from anything. And I like to plug in my computer sometimes and watch a video, but I didn't have a chance to be able to do that. Then bring my computer with me. So I began reading. I got all kinds of books on my case. Okay. So I grabbed a book as I was going out the door yesterday, and I'm going to show you it up here. It's called Abaddon Ascending. It was written by Josh Peck and Tom Horn. And I'm not recommending it. I mean, I am kind of recommending it, but again, I was struck as I read this book. I was struck as I read the book and how little I know and how little we are aware of what's really going on around us. We really are. I heard Carl Gallup's talk yesterday, Pastor Carl Gallup's. It was fascinating. I was up in the airplane. It made sense to me again. He said, imagine the depth of the ocean. How deep is the ocean? They say in some places the ocean's 3 miles deep, maybe even deeper. Think how deep it is to the core of the earth. 3 miles, 5 miles, some of those holes they drill down in there. Unbelievable how deep it is. And then you look above you up into the sky and think, yesterday I jumped up there. How far was I? How high was I up there? 35,000 feet. I think I was flying at 35,000 feet. You guys know how far that is? That's 7 miles. It's almost 7 miles I'm up in the air. And looking down through that thing and understand the vastness of this world around us and how little we, I'm talking about me and you, how little we ingest, how little we understand about it. In fact, get a little bit nervous when I leave my house. Yesterday I drove to Cincinnati, jumped on the plane, flew down to Texas, how far away I am from my family, my wife, my grandbabies, people I love. And understand how in an instant, boom, everything could change. I mean, everything could really, really change. And to think, well, this book talks about, I only got through the first part of it. It talks about the megaliths. You guys know what a megalith is? A megalith is the pyramids of Giza, some of the things they found down in Argentina somebody was here. We can deny it all we want. Somebody, something was here. And I get so daggone frustrated. The deeper that I get down and do research and study and read, I get more and more frustrated of people tuning me out. I'm not talking about me. When I try to explain to somebody that what's going on, little old us, little old me and my family, it's so much bigger than that. The vastness that, you know, God, as I said many times, God sits high and he looks low. God knows the depth of the ocean, and he knows the depth of the earth and the core of the earth and how that this whole thing gets spun into action. And to think we take our kids and we put them into school, we pay good money to educate them, to tell them that all this stuff just happened. It just happened. Everything that you see just happened. And then we run into the doom and gloomers. They got their noses so deep into the Bible that they don't have or no conception of anything that's going on around them. And I was struck today as I awakened a little bit earlier today. Gonna be a lot of people die today. Gonna be a lot of people die in the next, well, there are gonna be a lot of people gonna die anyway, right? I mean, a lot of people dying today. This is their death day. A lot of them. But there could be massive death rolling down through that hurricane, going up through the East Coast. Massive death. Could be. People could. You know, the people right now could be looking at their last 4 days, maybe on the earth. Some are looking at their last day on the earth. And I'm reminded what it says in Psalms. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? In other words, this little dinky world that we live in, our little world in particular, is just so much a small part of it. Can I ask you something? I want you to think about this a minute. Really, in your life, what really are you in control of? Job made me some coffee. What are you in control of? And sitting on the couch last night arguing with Chad before I went to bed, I said, you know what the truth is? Comes right down to it. I don't have any freedom. We don't have any freedom. Not anywhere in this. You can't build a deck on your house without somebody giving you approval.
Amen, Coach.
What's that?
Amen.
I mean, it's the way it is, right?
Yep.
And we got talking last night about coming down here and the hurricane relief that we're going to do, and the money that we're going to help people with. And I said to Chad, you know, there it is again. I got to give permission to somebody. I have to get somebody's permission to be able to help somebody. Their permission. Be FEMA down there. They'll be trying to block us. You go to work and you work hard. 40% of your pay, you don't even see, it goes to somebody else. They ever ask your particular, they would say, are you serious? We see now there are whose son was lost a child recently. And they traced it back to, I looked at my wife and I said to her, honey, why would anybody ever take heroin? Why would you do that? Why would a kid that grew up in a nice middle-class home, people love him and had everything going for him, show me how that
works. Those in control and that know what's going, they know what's going on, but they declare that it's not a sin. It's nothing wrong with it. It's simply a disease you might catch. It's
because there is no sin. Right? There's no sin anymore, see.
Hey, Larry, to add to that, you realize how powerful our thoughts are, because everything starts with a thought. Before you commit an act, it goes through your little mind and it starts to percolate. It's like giving birth, and that thought turns into an action. And so if your mind is going down that road away from God, you know, it's going to increase and increase. And as your thoughts go towards God, you start to seek him, but it all starts with the thought in the mind.
And the enemy's become really, really effective. Let me make this point to you, and I don't know how we got on this, so stay on it a minute. I go back to the DARE program in regards to drugs. Think of the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars we poured into the DARE program. And all the DARE program did was introduce our children to drugs. That's all it did. And somehow, somewhere along the line, we were convinced by our local police officer and that smiling DARE officer, that nice DARE officer that I was going to use a word I'm not going to use, who comes in and teaches everybody all the drugs and how not to use them, what to do, and just say no. And then, of course, the core of the DARE program is the idea that your mom and dad are bad. If your mom and dad smoke cigarettes, cigarette smoking is bad, drinking alcohol is bad, and then you look and your mom and dad are doing it, what's that tell you about your mom and dad? So it's undermining, again, of the authority structure within the home. The enemy is so subtle. And if this young man had just died, if we could sit down and go back and do an autopsy of his life and go back and look and see what it was, where he got into the idea that he would take a drug like heroin. How did that happen? And it'll all spin back to the lawlessness or the whole idea that you're the captain of your own ship. Captain of your own ship. I was watching this morning, real briefly on a video. We don't know what's going to happen with the hurricane. We don't know really. But they were talking about Miami Beach. And this 25-foot wall of water is going to come in. And all of Miami Beach is lined with these beautiful high-rise condos. One after another, right up on the water. What would make somebody, anybody with common sense, build that? Or you want something even worse than that? Saw this, I think maybe it was on Steve Quayle. I don't know where I saw it. Nuclear power plants, right where they could be smashed by a hurricane. How about this? You go up, you pray, people are praying that the hurricane not hit Florida. Oh, Lord, keep it away from Florida. But hey, listen, folks, it's going to hit somewhere. And you get up along the east coast of the United States, and there are at least four huge Navy installments. Think about Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy. That's all right, all up through there. And we built these things right on the edge. And it's like we are in our lives. We build our lives upon sinking sand, upon things that look good, of appearances. Great was that fall. And I would say the wind came somewhere in that scripture and talks about you got to build your house upon a rock. Well, we know that rock. Church knows that rock. And the church won't even fight to have that rock taught to our children again. So we end up constantly, as my friend JR would say, I don't know if he's in here today, constantly treating symptoms, trying to put out fires rather than breaking the matches. Turn off the lighter. Constantly putting out fires. Somebody jump in here.
Coach, the thing that I do is I always concentrate that I keep the full armor of God on, that the fiery darts are being thrown at an increasing rate. And if you don't keep your armor on, it can attack any of us and pierce us.
Well, yeah, John, but also, we're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So, you know, you can be living the most righteous life you could ever live, and there's calamity coming, man. They're going to be, if that hurricane hits, there's going to be a lot of people die. But there are a lot of people dying today anyway. And they're dying without Christ, without the gospel, the kingdom of God. And for whatever reason, we have become so hand-offish. Talk to our children again. See, people say you can't legislate morality. Going on in America is we are not criminalized. We're not criminalizing the things that ought to be criminalized. We're legalizing them. We're calling them freedom of choice. I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking, look, just look around. Look around at how many people, their lives are in a mess because they've never been taught the basic principles of how to live your life, right and wrong, good and evil. We've never been taught that. And anybody who tries to raise up and set a standard of righteousness is rejected. It's rejected from the public square. The idea that you could that you can't pray at a city council meeting. There's lawsuits against people praying at city council meetings. And here's the core of that. If your speech isn't free, you're not free. You're not free. You're not a free man. And that's why the First Amendment was what it was. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor abridging freedom of speech, press. It's all right there. And as I opened up today, as I'm kind of dabbling, puddling through the water here, ultimately that's it, see? Stopping the mouth of God. Buffer zones. Think about this. Buffer zones to prevent you from trying to save an unborn baby. A buffer zone. An area that we had to get it back from. It's all spiritual, see? We live in the world's on fire. We see that, don't we? The culture is disintegrating. I did that about 20 years ago. I made that intro to our show. Hey, pass the salt. We're not doing it. Open floors. I'm flicking a flea flicker here. Somebody jump in here.
Well, brother, when you were talking about those buffer zones, remember we were down in Kentucky, and it was that Friday morning. You know, so many, and I deal with this with the homeschool parents even, you know, good Christians, and boy, they want to shelter their children. They don't want to go to the clinic because they don't want to expose their children to the evils. And I'm like, you do understand that these are arrows. They're not arrows to hang on the wall and to worship. They're actually used to thrust forward into the gates of hell. And brother, remember when the little children... And, you know, I was the one that got in a real heated thing with the federal marshals right on day one. But on day five, that Friday, I put them children right in front of them death squirts. And when they begin to pray and those death squirts turn their backs, and boy, look, when that whole thing went down, when it was done, that federal marshal came over and said, what you did with the children was incredible, incredible.
So Dale, let's talk about that a minute.
Amen.
That's where, is it Psalm 123? I might have it wrong. The children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward.
Psalms 8:2, out of the mouth of infant babes and sucklings, brother, that he is perfected praise, mm-hmm. that he calls them to be at the gates of the enemy to silence them.
Amen. Hey, Jared, see if I think that's Psalm 123. Let me look real quick, and try to pull that up, Jared. If I have my own Bible here, I got Chad's Bible that's never been cracked open before, so I got to look through here. I think it's Psalm 123. And again, folks, I apologize. I'm working here in a dark.
Go ahead and go there, but when you get there, so I'll interject and add to it. The next day, the lieutenant came up to Chet. You know, they say there's always something that just that is the high point, something that they remember the event by, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Maybe something goes haywire, and that's what they remember. That's what they gauge it by. That lieutenant came up to Chet and told him, when those children begin to pray, he said that thing stuck in the hearts of the police.
He said that.
Praise God. That's
Chet called me up and told me, Dale, he goes, I just want to tell you this. And what it ties to, Coach, is when we were down in that circle and you walked up to the police and told them, if you have eyes to see, well, brother, their eyes are open and they saw, and it dropped in their heart.
Yeah, folks, what Dale's referring to is when the deplorables. Children are the heritage of the Lord. I can't see. Somebody find that for me. It's not Psalm 123. It's 127, something like that. When we send our children to battle down in Louisville, yes, we did. They're arrows. When we send them to battle against the deplorables or whatever you want. We were the deplorables. I go, whatever. When that whole thing was over, when it was concluded, I grabbed the microphone and I said to all the police gathered there, I said, listen, guys, look around here. Let this be a living parable to you. One of these groups is going to control the future of the United States. The young kids we're training up, or those other ones. And as you go about doing your job, you better understand the spiritual connections and the spiritual impact of what you as a police officer are doing. And here we see in America, our police officers are punishing good. They are punishing good, saying we're doing our job, just doing our job. But see, the police officers aren't the only ones that are complicit in it. We're all complicit in it. We all are. We let it go on. Oh, my goodness.
Have to break it. Hey, Coach, we're the deplorables and they're the delusionals.
The delusionals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Paul called us the scum of the earth.
Psalm 127, Jared, I'm sorry. I just found it. They are the delusionals. But see, listen, guys. They are the delusionals because we are not aggressive with our message. We're not aggressive. We're passive. We're afraid that if we offend them, if we say the wrong thing, they're going to be turned from the Lord. And I pondered a lot yesterday on what Larry said. Larry said it's just one little nugget that dropped into my spirit yesterday that's really good. He says, you know, if you pray that God's will be done, your prayer is always answered. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Should I be praying right now that hurricane would go someplace else? When there's somebody in South Carolina praying that it doesn't come to them? See, it's like when people say when you're playing football, Coach, you pray for victory. I say, yeah, I pray for victory. I realize when you pray for victory, the other guy's going to get a loss. He's over there praying for victory too. And you're saying, Lord, okay, Lord, choose from us. Which one of us has been nicer? Which one of us has been better? So we get into this mess of thinking God's picking and choosing sides when in fact it's his will. But it's indisputable what is said right here in Psalm 127. I'm having a hard time. I see it, Jared. Thanks. It's on my screen. I got to squint a little bit at it. Listen to this, because this is what Dale is. See, folks, listen. Our children are our future. And that sounds hackneyed and sounds like just something people say, but it is. It's the truth. I'm 64. My children are they're more prosperous than I was at their age, 34. They're living their own lives. The future of the Dobbenmeyer clan, can I tell you the truth? It's now in the hands of my children. Passing it on to the next generation. I can pray about it, but those seeds have already been sown. That bow's already been bent.
Remember Matt Roberts?
Those arrows have already been formed.
Somehow he's...
I can't do anything about that.
Why?
Go ahead. Is that you, Rod? He must have been talking to his dog. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord build the house, the labor in vain the building. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Think how many people are watching that hurricane right now. Huh? How many watchmen are watching that hurricane? It says, unless the Lord keeps the city. And like Larry would say, sitting in your house, Lord, please divert the storm. Please divert the storm. But what if that's the Lord's? What if there are thousands of people who are going to find Christ as a result of the hurricane? Lose all their stuff and find the Lord. Lose what they cannot keep and get what they dare not lose. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, that's like, hey, that's a scream in the scripture. Lo, that's a scream. Whoa! Hey, dudes! Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Boy, we don't look at it like that in America. Throw away children, aborting children, drug-headed people having children. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Time out a minute. We don't shoot bows and arrows anymore. So what would be today's comparison as arrows are in the hands of a, what would it be today? As ARs are, as machine guns are, what would it be? What would be the comparison?
Bullets. How many bullets you want to go to war with? You want to go with one or as many as you can get your hands on?
Yeah, and they've convinced us we shouldn't be having those little bullets. Look at this. As bullets are in the gun of a mighty man, so are children of his youth. Watch this. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them.
Watch. A magazine.
They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Who shall? The arrows. The children. And as Dale said, we shield our children. We shield them. We don't want them to. I think of, Dale, you know all those families that we see at Operation Save America. And I think of the Campanas and Doc Johnston and the Astros. I could go on and on and on with families who have trained their children to confront the enemy. From the time they were 5 and 6 years old, they did not shield them from the enemy. They protected them from the enemy, but they exposed them to the enemy. We'll go to the abortion clinic, and people will drive by, and they'll roll down the windows, and they'll be giving us a finger, and some guy will yell at you, oh, you know my 5-year-old daughter had to look at that picture? And we point and say, yeah, we got a 5-year-old holding the picture. We got a 5-year-old holding it.
You know,
that's why? We're teaching children that there is evil in the world, and this is what it looks like. At what point do you say, well, they're old enough now to be learning about it, so now they're 17, okay, I'll start talking to them about abortion, and in a world where death reigns and people love to kill, I'll start talking, well, wait till they're 18. When they're 18, they'll be old enough. Or do you start teaching them? My little 5-year-old granddaughter, Reese, up when I first pulled out one of the abortion clinic pictures, one of those Malachi pictures, I pointed to the picture. And she says, I said, Reese, do you know what that is? This baby's all mangled and pulled apart. And she says, yeah, hurt baby. They get it. They get it. Does she understand abortion? Does she understand the process? Does she understand adultery and sex and everything associated with it? No. But she knows at age 3 years old, there's people want to kill babies. She understands that.
Hey, Dave. They are. The world doesn't have any problem teaching the 5-year-olds all about sex and how to change your sex and stuff, but yet they're offended over that.
DARE program, fifth grade, they get into the DARE program. I guess old enough to know about drugs at that point. But Ray, the arrows that I see from homeschool families, oh, let me stop there, man, because so many homeschool families are just as bad in the way they shield their children. They shield
not only
everything out in the world, right, Dale?
Not only the fact of shielding their children, but they have the same warped mind concept of that, you know, they got 2 children and, oh, that's it, I'm done, I'm finished. And I bring them to that scripture and I give them that parallel. And I said, if you were in a heated battle and you had a gun and all you had was 2 bullets versus a magazine full with 15 bullets, which one would you prefer? Well, I mean, it's a simple answer. Oh, I want the magazine. I said, that's what you're denying. That's what you're telling God. In fact, the children, the heritage of, is not the heritage of the parents, just what you read. It's the heritage of the Lord. This is what the Lord requireth of thee. Now, I'm going to bring, can I do a light side parallel for this? Just to lighten it up, brother. You know, listen, We love going out Christmas caroling every year because we do a Christmas pageant and we want people to come. All right. Now, I don't know about you or I, but if I go knocking on somebody's door and start Christmas caroling, brother, those people might open up their door, either slam it shut or shoot at me. But brother, what we do is we take the littlest of the children and we put them all up to the door, and then they knock on the door. When they open, the little children start singing, brother. We have never had the door closed on us. And matter of fact, tell me, brother, if I come knocking at your door, you come knocking at my door singing, and that doesn't melt my heart. But boy, when them little children, they begin to sing, brother, boy, it just melts your heart, man. And you just want to hear. And then we step in and say, hey, we have a pageant. We're inviting you to. So, brother, these are such sharp tipping things. Children pierce their tips, their arrows. They pierce the heart of man, just like it pierced that federal officer, just like it pierced that police force. And we want to hide our arrows. We want to go out there and fight without any arrows.
Or not train them. You're right. You're right. Dale, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the evidence was that article that I shared yesterday about the fact that now what? We're less than half, white Christians are now less than half the population. What happened? How did it happen? Well, it happened through reproduction.
The Muslims got it figured out. They have 12 kids. They know that these kids are going to run, you know.
My good friend Flip Benham said we have three options, I think he said, in regards to that, in regards to the lost world, not just the Muslims, but in the lost world. They kill us, we kill them, or we convert them. They kill us, we kill them, or we convert them. That's it. Those are the choices. We don't want to look at that. They kill us, we kill them, or we convert them. And for whatever reason, I don't always sound like a church basher, you know, but we're so missing it.
You're not a church basher, brother.
Chad must want to say something. He just got close to me. What's up, Chad?
It's all good.
Say what's on your mind. This is Flea Flicker Friday. Can you guys hear him?
Yep, we do, brother. No, you're not bashing the church, man. The church has been bashing you all this time.
Yeah, they have. They have.
Well, see, that's one of the things, too.
Go blue.
About that quiver.
Chad's talking about the quiver. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, we get caught up in it. I know myself, you know, Dale, that you said exactly right. Because when I had one, I said, okay, five more. I had two, and I said, okay, I'm done. Because then when you go to daycare and you got diapers, you know, what it is, we get a little selfish. Because we don't get our same time to ourselves to do our own activities of our own, what we want to do as adults. And so that limits us. And when you get kids, you can't get bogged down with it. You know, the responsibilities of life at that point. So
along that line, I don't know how we got on this one, but can I jump up on silver? Hi-ho, silver. Away here. Can I get on silver here a second? I want to give you a little bit of an experience in my life. I was one of five kids, and my dad spent every cent he had putting us through college. So when my mom and dad, when they passed away, there wasn't much of an inheritance for five of us. Their home, our nephew bought the home. So, you know, there was a little bit there. On the other side, there was a little bit more from on my mother's, my wife's side. And we immediately invested the money into their lives, into the lives of our children. Rather than see, here's the point I'm trying to get at. We cherish our money. And I'm trying to do everything I have right now to get the money into the life of my children to make it better for them and the opportunities for them and get them out of debt and all those things that we want to do. And part of the deal is they know, hey, I'm investing everything I got into you now. And it's your obligation. I don't want to burden you and I don't want to be a burden. But when I hit 80, you got to help. And most of us save money till we get 80, and then we die and we leave a bunch of money. And in the meantime, our children have had to go to dastardly government schools and creepy daycare. Then I tell our children, our grown children, adult children, I'll do whatever I can. Please don't put my grandbabies in government schools. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. And if it means I can't go on a vacation, that's okay. Because my children are my heritage. They're the heritage of the Lord. They're the fruit of the womb. They're going to stand in the gates and they're going to contend with the Lord's enemies. And it can't be any better investment. So I would say to anybody out there that's listening right now, it's not a crime to help your children. Even if they're adults, it's not a crime. And we're seeing fruit of it in our lives. I know that we are. Our youngest daughter, Maggie, doesn't have to work. She doesn't have to work. because of the living situation. We said they have their own house, but she doesn't have to work. If they had to pay the big mortgage, she'd have to go to work. Where would my precious grandchildren go? Well, they'd go to some pedophile who's acting like a teacher. That's where they would go. And so I would just encourage all of you out there, maybe some have been bullheaded and thinking, well, he's got to make it on his own. I made it on my own. Well, you know, it's a little bit different in 2017 than it was in 1957. It's a little bit different.
Dave.
And although I agree with you, I think we have an obligation to do the best we can right now to help those that are coming behind us. Not handicap them, but help them. Yeah, Rog.
Well, you know, it used to be a kid could come home in the summer and work a summer job, and he could make a huge dent in next year's college expenses, you know? And I can give you example after example. I agree. The economy and economics has changed, and it's not been good, but it's been brought on by a monetary policy that has supported, for lack of a better word, the people to be enslaved by their jobs and by their work. So things are different. I struggle sometimes because I believe in exactly what you shared, but I want to balance between undercutting my sons as husbands and fathers, but then also viewing their children, my grandchildren, as we're a team. And I agree wholeheartedly. Everybody is saving to die and then give their inheritance. It's foolishness. The other two things I would say on this, what's this Friday called?
Flea Flicker Friday.
Second thing I would say is go blue. And the third thing I would say is, I'm losing my train of thought, but I'm getting old here.
Well, it's because you said go blue. That was a flush right there.
We live in a society now. I believe, and I'm pretty mainline, Dave, I believe armed conflict is coming, okay? In some part of this world towards Christianity, you cannot have what is happening in Europe. You cannot have what they are trying to bring to America without 10 or 20 or 30% of the people saying, hell no, let's bring it on. It just isn't going to go quietly.
Well, I agree. And one of the points that I was trying to make, maybe I made it again yesterday and I just subtly made it again today. Do you understand how vulnerable we are? The good old US of A, oil producing refineries in the world are in Houston, Texas, and they're closed down. We have two nuclear power plants down in Florida that are in danger of being swamped by the hurricane. We have four military bases running up. Think about the military bases going up the coast. Virginia, Florida. Think about all those going up there and the vulnerability and the fires that are going on out west and the earthquake that happened in Mexico. And let's say there isn't even a God. Let's say there isn't a God, but this stuff's just happening. Can't we see how vulnerable we are? Can't we see that some invade? There's no God. There's just no God. And we all evolved from monkeys and all that stuff. But some invading force, you don't think that they're looking and say, man, things are kind of messed up over there in America. Wow, they don't have any fuel. Their military bases are swamped. Wow, those nuclear power plants are down. Might be a good time to strike. Regardless of whether it's the end times and looking at the stars and the eclipse and regardless of all that stuff, just from a human, godless human, power-hungry point of view, fellas, we look like a wounded duck right now, man, to the world. We look like a wounded duck.
Well, that's how Barry won it for us.
Pardon me?
That's what Bathhouse Barry wanted for us, to destabilize America.
Right. Guys, whether it's a God or not, I'm just talking practicality. If you just look at it from a practical point of view, we got our troops are all overseas. The troops we have here are under attack by a hurricane. Yes, George. Is it George? Somebody.
Hey, Coach. Hey, this will take me just a minute, but and I think a lot of it we're talking about the symptoms, but let's talk about is Jesus talked about building here on earth. Questions from the last probably years. We've advocated the kingdom. We've given government. We've given up a monetary system. And so therefore, when tribulation comes like we're experiencing, my understanding is tribulation is what man does to man, not necessarily what God's doing to man, what man doing. And so some of these people that listen want to realize or not, they really need to start studying what capabilities, what evil can man do to man? Can man modify the weather? Can man create any sort of evil? And then it goes back to, until we Christians take back the kingdom, nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse because we have abdicated. We've abdicated the throne that Jesus said, "You occupy till I come."
Amen.
Well, so Amen. George, let's just think of this for a second. Let's say there isn't any God. Let's take God out of the picture. Okay, there's no God. We're all deluded. We've all been fooled. There isn't any God. And when you die, you die. Does it take much of a brain to sit where you are right now and think about the evacuation that's going on in Florida and maybe the evacuation that's moving up the East Coast of America, people leaving their homes? Hey, is it just me, or does Black Friday outside of Target store come to anybody's mind when those people are lined up and they open the doors and those people go running in there like crazy fools to get a bargain? What will it be like without the restraint of God? If there is no God, can you imagine what the world is going to look like when calamity hits? That's what we're facing, and we don't understand it, right? Or is it gas shortage, or I mean, just whatever it is, people are emptying the shelves. I'm telling you, people will get so desperate. If there is or if there isn't a God, they're going to be so unbelievably desperate. And our only hope is we know there is a God. And we ought to be living differently and thinking differently and training differently. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Yet, unfortunately, Christians who love to say that are totally immersed in the world. Totally immersed. Their children are in the government schools. Their children aren't trained to recognize good from evil. They're totally and completely immersed in how? Listen. How can people think I'm an idiot? I hear it all the time on from my emails. Nobody listens to you. You're a kook. You're so far out. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Can they not see? Can they not just use common sense? Take God out of the equation. Hey, dudes, a penis don't go in an anus, okay? That don't work. That doesn't work. And we're the fools. It shows that the heart of man, unrestrained by the Holy Spirit, doesn't even have the ability to be able to reason, to logically argue, to logically debate, to look at A, B, C, and connect them. They have the inability to be able to do that. So when anybody stands up and says, well, you know, these hurricanes are the judgment of God, I don't say that, okay? I don't say that because I don't know if it's the judgment of God. I don't even know if there is a God. But I do know this, that what everything, if God has immutable laws, if God respects life and God is life and God is against death, and we look out across what's coming over the waters, dudes, there's death. See ya. There's death coming over the waters, not life. There's death. Death is sweeping our way, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. Fires are death. Death is everywhere, because what is ruling in America? All those who hate me love death. Death lovers are ruling, and you reap what you sow. Take God out of the picture.
They're beholding the Babylon, brother. Hey, let me read the patent here of this hurricane control system. This is US 200 202,8155, his method and system for hurricane control. And that was patented in 1960. So what? Now, the reason I'm just mentioning that is, what if the hurricane was meant to actually take out the wildfires, and these idiots are just sending it elsewhere? You know, just an idea. Yeah.
Well, Vince, they don't want to believe. Thanks, Chad. They don't even believe in weather manipulation. You talk to somebody. What do they think HAARP is? What is wrong with people that they don't understand common sense stuff? I was sharing with it doesn't matter who, a friend the other day talking about the flooding down here in Houston. And I started talking about manufactured HAARP weather. And they start, you know how they do. Oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a minute, dude, 52 freaking inches of rain. 52 inches. It ain't never happened like that. Ain't never happened. Can somebody tell me what's going on? And by the way, for all of you who say it's the judgment of God, you do know this, don't you? That they're having typhoons in other parts of the world where thousands and thousands of people are being killed because of the floods. Is that the judgment of God? Or is that just the natural consequences of the earth? Is it just the natural consequences? And because we understand the natural consequences, we have the wisdom to understand what we should and should not be doing. But we don't.
Coach?
Yes.
When they say something like that, you can always bring them around to the news where it has come out that Richard Nixon used weather modification to enhance the monsoons when the Viet Cong were marching down through the jungles. Mm. That is common. That is out there. So they've been doing it since then.
Hey, you know, let me interject here just for a minute, a little balance in way people might look at this. You know, we talk about the will of God and praying for the will of God, and then whatever happens is the answer to prayer. This is absolutely accurate. Where the problem comes in is we have too many people in the supposed church that think the will of God is your best life now and everything is a bed of roses. See, they don't understand that the will of God is for his creation to create beings that voluntarily choose to worship him. So he created some that obey him, the angels and stuff. A third of them, he knew it was going to happen, but a third of them rebelled.
Right.
But his desire of his heart was that these humans that he created, that they on their own decide to honor and worship him. He's a very, very jealous God. He is a very, he wants that worship. He created us in his image, and all of our entertainers will tell you they crave that worship that the crowds give them. That's in the image of God. But see, the thing is we have to realize that God's will isn't to interfere in the affairs of man all the time.
That's a miracle.
The ability is there to do it any time.
Jared, go Matthew 24 real quick, Jared. Good word, Larry. Always a good word.
Hey, Coach.
Yes?
Hey, real quick. You know what? The kingdom principles, what we're talking about, what Larry just said, it doesn't fit into most people's religious theological box. And unless they break out of that theological box, they're never going to understand it.
They never will.
What a man sows, he shall also reap. And you know, I would say that you would concur, Coach, that Flip Benham is a prophetic voice in the nation. And on September 9th, 2001, he and 18 others, it was 19 people that were arrested at the steps in D.C. praying for our nation. And when they put Flip Benham in them handcuffs on September 9th, he looked at Washington, D.C., says, America, this is your third and final warning. And 2 days later, 19 men with box cutters, 19 prophetic pastors, Bill Shanks, Flip Benham, I mean, were arrested. And then 19 men brought down a nation with box cutters. You do know that this storm is supposed to hit on 9/11, right, in Florida?
Do it. My buddy Chad just says 19 arrested. He says there's 19 hijackers. At least they tell us less. Same number. Folks, listen to Matthew 24. Go there. I want to show you something. There's a part of life. Always has been. Natural disasters are a part of life. They always have been. They always have been. And we have to quit looking for a prophetic thing that happens. Some things are just the natural consequences of life. As I've said to you before, somebody gets in financial problems and they say, oh, the devil's after my finances. We love to blame the devil for everything. And some of it is just the natural consequences of life. You know why some people get in financial bondage? They get in financial bondage because somebody didn't pay them. This is in sin. And the natural consequences of somebody else's sin is it impacts me and my family. Well, if they paid me that money, I wouldn't have these money problems. That's right. That's right. Let's not get caught up in the natural consequences of life and the judgment of God, because we know that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and God can use weather. Does God cause weather? Is God causing this storm? I don't know. But he's certainly allowing it. He's certainly permitting it, whatever. And now what if it's judgment? What if this storm hits and 1.5 million people come to Jesus because they lost everything? Was the storm a good thing or a bad thing? It all has to do with our perspective. So in Matthew 24, verse 4, do you have it up there, Jared? I'm looking out of my, I don't know if you have it on the screen. Matthew 24, 4. I'm just going to read it out of the scripture because I can see it, and I know we run short on time. Jesus said, 24, 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Hey, dudes. Don't be deceived by the Weather Channel and all that stuff. And don't be deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many. 1,000 years ago, this was written. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Troubled. For these are all just the natural consequences of life. He doesn't say that, but that's really what it says. It says, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not near yet. So it is just natural consequences of life. Rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. How long has that been going on? Huh? How long has that been going on? And against kingdom, there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Just don't make him be. It's all part of life, man. He says it's just the way the world is. It's all part of life. He says then they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all men for my sake. And shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. This has been going on, natural consequences of life. And just because we have to be, we happen to be living at this time in this place, in America in particular, thinking God is the whole world based on America, we're getting deceived. We become deceived. We look at signposts and think it's the end of the road. We look at a signpost rather than realizing it's a directional, make a turn here or make a turn there. We think it's a stop sign. We think it's the end. Many shall be offended, shall betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cool. We talked about lawlessness. It's been going on, natural consequences of life. But dudes, the end shall be saved. Endure to the end, baby. There's a solution. He gives the solution right there. Then, however it is, sitting around and worrying about whether the hurricane's going to hit my house, just endure to the end. If it hits your house and everything goes under, just endure to the end. If it hits your house and water rushes in and takes everything you have, just endure to the end. The answer to the solution, the answer to the problem is always the same. Just endure to the end. Just endure to the end. And who knows when that end is going to be for you or when it's going to be for me. And I'm going to take precautions and do everything I can to protect my stuff and protect my family, my loved ones, and do everything I can. But ultimately, just endure to the end. Just figure out a way to make it to the end. Then you will make it. But will you endure? Will you going to endure? I think a young guy yesterday that I didn't finish the story. I was talking about the guy who taking the heroin. He hung himself in his parents' basement. He couldn't endure to the end. He made it to the end, but he didn't endure. He got to the end because he didn't endure. If he could have endured, maybe there'd have been another end. So we have to be very careful here in the church reality in doom and gloom. Reality is you're going to have to endure to have to endure to the end. It says that he endures to the end shall be saved. And you can't ignore what's going on, and you can't be concerned by it, and you can't be troubled by it. It's going to help people endure to the end. That's why we're here. That's why we're here in Texas. They lost everything, but it ain't the end. It's not the end. You got to endure. They got to endure. They got to get through this one. They got to get through this thing that they never thought would come into their life. And they worked their whole lives just to be able to have everything they have now, and it's gone. Got to endure. The end's not here yet, see. God's answer is always the same. Endure to the end. Occupy till I return. Endure to the end. Earnestly contend for the faith. It's always the same. It's always the picture of a battlefield. Always a picture of a battlefield. Endure it. Endure it. They're going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to try to destroy you. They're going to try to steal from you. They're going to try to take everything you have. The answer is endure. Endure to the end. If you endure to the end, you're going to be saved. And we're living in a day and a time when people are not enduring. They are losing their faith. They are losing their salvation. And when we go down here into Texas today and go down, we're going to find those who are enduring well and those who ain't enduring so well. And it doesn't have anything to do with what happens to you. It has to do with what you do with what happens to you. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. God bless you all. Time's up. See you bright and early on Monday morning. God bless you all.